Tonight, WTBS presents The Wild Duck by Henrik Ibsen. In a richly furnished study, Gregers Werle is home for the first time in many months. His father, a wealthy manufacturer, has requested his return. Gregers has invited his old school friend, Hjalmar Ekdal, to be the 13th guest at dinner.
You ought not to have invited me, Gregers.
What? Not ask my best and only friend to a party supposed to be in my honor?
But I don't think your father likes it. You see, I am quite outside his circle.
So I hear. But I wanted to see you and have a talk with you, and I certainly shan't be staying long. How are things going with your father now?
Don't let us talk of it, old fellow. Of course my poor unhappy father lives with me. He hasn't another soul in the world to care for him. I thank you, Gregers, for inviting me to your father's table, for I take it as a sign that you have got over your feeling against me.
How could you imagine I had any feeling against you?
After the great misfortune, it was natural enough that you should. Your father was within an ace of being drawn into that, well, that terrible business.
Why should that give me any feeling against you?
I know it did, Gregers. Your father told me so himself.
My father? Oh, indeed. Was that why you never let me hear from you? Not a single word?
Yes.
Not even when you made up your mind to become a photographer?
Your father said I had better not write to you at all, about anything.
I see. But tell me now, Hjalmar, are you pretty well satisfied with your present position?
Oh, yes, I am. I really have no cause to complain. But, of course, my whole circumstances were totally changed. Father's utter and irretrievable ruin, and the shame and disgrace of it.
Yes, I understand.
I couldn't think of remaining at college. There wasn't a shilling to spare. On the contrary, there were debts. Mainly to your father, I believe. In short, I thought it best to break with my old surroundings and associations. It was your father that specially urged me to it. And since he interested himself so much in me...
My father did?
Yes. You surely knew that, didn't you? Where do you suppose I found the money to learn photography, and to furnish a studio and make a start?
And my father provided the money?
Yes, my dear fellow. Didn't you know? It was he, too, that put me in a position to marry. Don't you know about that, either?
No, I haven't heard a word of it. You can't imagine what pleasure all this gives me. I've perhaps done my father injustice after all. In some things. This proves that he has a heart. I hope you are happy in your married life.
Well, yes, thoroughly happy. She is as good and capable a wife as any man could wish for. I assure you, you would hardly know Gina again.
Gina?
Yes. Had you forgotten that her name was Gina?
Whose name? I haven't the slightest idea.
Don't you remember? She used to be in service here.
Is it Gina Hansen?
Yes, of course. Gina Hansen.
Who kept house for us during the last year of my mother's illness?
Yes, exactly.
Now, tell me, Hjalmar, this is interesting. How did you come to know Gina, your wife?
Well, the simplest thing in the world. You know, Gina did not stay here long. Everything was so much upset at the time, owing to your mother's illness. Gina lived at home with her mother, Madame Hansen, who kept a little restaurant. She had a room to let, too. A very nice, comfortable room.
And I suppose you were lucky enough to secure it.
Yes, and in fact, it was your father that recommended it to me. So it was there, you see, that I really came to know Gina.
And then you got engaged.
Yes, it doesn't take young people long to fall in love.
Tell me, was it after your engagement? Was it then that my father... was it then that you began to take up photography?
Yes, precisely. I wanted to make a start, and to set up house as soon as possible. And your father and I agreed that this photography business was the readiest way. Don't you think it was a marvelous piece of luck?
Oh, unquestionably. My father seems to have been almost a kind of providence for you.
Old Ekdal, Hjalmar's father, appears by mistake in the room where the dinner guests are assembled. Hjalmar, ashamed, refuses to acknowledge his father. Later in the evening, Gregers speaks to his own father alone.
How has that family been allowed to go so miserably to the wall?
You mean the Ekdals, I suppose?
Yes, I mean the Ekdals. Lieutenant Ekdal was once so closely associated with you.
Much too closely. It's thanks to him that I have had a kind of slur cast upon my reputation. I was quite in the dark as to what Lieutenant Ekdal was doing.
Lieutenant Ekdal himself seems to have been very much in the dark as to what he was doing.
That may be, but the fact remains that he was found guilty, and I acquitted.
But that unhappy Ekdal family...
When Ekdal came out of prison, he was a broken-down being, past all help. You may take my word for it, Gregers. I've done all I could without positively laying myself open to all sorts of suspicion and gossip.
Suspicion? Oh, I see.
I've given Ekdal copying to do for the office, and I pay him far, far more than his work is worth.
Tell me, when you interested yourself so warmly in your old friend's son, it was just before his marriage, was it not? You did not mention that this Miss Hansen was Gina Hansen, our former housekeeper.
No, to tell you the truth, it didn't occur to me that you were so particularly interested in our former housekeeper.
No more I was, but there were others in this house who were particularly interested in her.
You're not alluding to me, I hope.
Yes, I am alluding to you. Hjalmar has never breathed a word about this. I don't believe he has the faintest suspicion of such a thing.
Who could have put such notions in your head?
My poor unhappy mother told me, and that the very last time I saw...
Your mother! I might have known as much. It was she who turned you against me, from the first. What can be your object in remaining up at the works, year out and year in, drudging away like a common clerk, and not drawing a farthing more than the ordinary monthly wage? It's downright folly.
Perhaps. What is it you really want of me? I have been waiting all day to know.
I want to propose that you should enter the firm as a partner. There are many things that stand between us, but we are father and son, after all. We surely ought to be able to come to some sort of an understanding with each other.
There is something behind all this.
How so?
You want to make use of me in some way.
In such a close relationship as ours, the one can always be useful to the other. I'm a lonely man, Gregers. I feel the need of someone about me.
You have your housekeeper, Mrs. Sorby.
Yes, I have her, and she has become, I may say, almost indispensable to me. She's lively and even-tempered. She brightens up the house.
Tell me, are you thinking of marrying her?
Should you be inflexibly opposed to it?
Not at all, not by any means.
I was not sure whether your devotion to your mother's memory...
I am not overstrained.
Well, at all events, you have lifted a great weight from my mind.
Now I see the use you want to put me to.
Use to put you to?
Oh, don't let us be nice in our choice of words. For the sake of Mrs. Sorby, we are to get up a pretense at family life in the house, a tableau of filial affection.
Gregers, I believe there is no one in the world you detest as much as you do me.
I have seen you at too close quarters.
You have seen me with your mother's eyes.
I see what you are hinting at. Why, you and all those... The last of them is this woman that you palmed off upon Hjalmar Ekdal when you were... Ah. And there he is now, with his great, confiding, childlike mind, compassed about with all his treachery, living under the same roof with such a creature and never dreaming that what he calls his home is built upon a lie.
I begin to think that the chasm that divides us is too wide.
So I have observed, and therefore I take my hat and go.
You're going? Out of the house?
Yes, for at last I see my mission in life.
What mission?
You would only laugh if I told you.
Gregersvale realized that the happiness of the Ekdal family was a deception. Hjalmar Ekdal, basking in the admiration and attentions of his wife and 14-year-old daughter Hedvig, little realized that his wife had belonged to another man. Visiting the Ekdal family at their plainly furnished home and photograph studio, Gregersvale discovered the dreams of his friend were housed in an odd-shaped garret room containing rabbits and fowl. Old Ekdal spent many hours behind the closed doors, arranging nests and water in the dusky light. Even young Hedvig kept a cherished possession in the make-believe forest, a wild duck rescued from the sea.
You spend much time in your garret, don't you, Hjalmar?
It's really quite amusing to have things of this sort to potter with, and it's absolutely necessary, too, for Gina objects to having rabbits and fowls in the studio.
To be sure. And I suppose the studio is your wife's special department?
As a rule, I leave the everyday details of business to her, for then I can take refuge in the parlor and give my mind to more important things.
What things may they be, Hjalmar?
I wonder you had not asked that question sooner, but perhaps you haven't heard of the invention.
And what is the nature of the invention?
Oh, my dear fellow, you mustn't ask for details yet. It takes time, you see.
How long do you think it will take you to finish your invention?
Oh, come now. You mustn't expect me to enter into particulars like that. An invention is not a thing completely under one's own control. It depends largely on inspiration, on intuition. and it is almost impossible to predict when the inspiration may come.
But it's advancing.
Yes, certainly, it's advancing. I turn it over in my mind every day. And every afternoon, when I've had my dinner, I shut myself up in the parlor where I can ponder undisturbed. But I can't be goaded to it.
My dear Hjalmar, I almost think you have something of the wild duck in you.
Something of the wild duck? How do you mean?
You have strayed into a poisonous marsh, Hjalmar. An insidious disease has taken hold of you, and you have sunk down to die in the dark.
No, my dear.
It was the smell of herring salad that brought you.
Let me introduce you to Dr. Relling. He lives in the room right under us.
Thank you, Hjalmar, but we are acquainted, you see.
Yes, some years ago.
Well, so you still stick up there at those horrible, grimy works, Verrill?
I have stuck there until now.
And did you ever manage to collect that claim you went about presenting?
Claim? Ah, I see.
Have you been presenting claims, Gregers?
Oh, nonsense.
Faith, but he has, though. He went round to all the cotter's cabins, presenting something he called the claim of the ideal.
I was young then.
You're right. You were very young. And as for that claim of the ideal, you never got it honored while I was up there.
Nor since, either.
Ah, then you've learned to knock a little discount off, I expect.
Never, when I have found a true man to deal with.
Look here, Mr. Verrill Jr., I have a strong suspicion that you're still carrying about that claim of the ideal large as life. In your coattail pocket.
I carry it in my breast.
Well, wherever you carry it, I advise you not to come dunning us with it here, so long as I am on the premises.
I have to see you once more alone, Gregers.
We can speak here, Father. There's no one about.
From something you let fall last evening, I can't help inferring that you intend to make yourself unpleasant to me in one way or another.
I intend to open Hjalmar Ekdal's eyes. He shall see his position as it really is. That is all.
Is that the mission in life you spoke of yesterday?
Yes. You have left me no other. I can rescue Hjalmar from all the falsehood and deception that are bringing him to ruin.
Do you think that will be doing him a kindness?
I have not the least doubt of it.
You think our worthy photographer is the sort of man to appreciate such friendly offices?
Yes, I do.
Then in that case, I might have spared myself this visit. For, of course, it's useless to ask whether you will return home with me.
Quite useless.
And I suppose you won't enter the firm, either.
No, I consider myself released from your service.
Well, oh, yes, well enough. We've had a tiring walk, Gregers and I. I have learned a great deal. Henceforth, I mean to do everything myself. I shall take all the work into my own hands.
Why, what can be the good of that, Ekdal? It'll only make your life a burden to you. I can manage the photography all right, and you can go on working at your invention.
And think of the wild duck, Father, and all the hens and rabbits, and...
Don't talk to me of all that trash. From tomorrow, I will never set foot in that garret again. I should almost like to wring that cursed wild duck's neck.
The wild duck?
Hjalmar, what are you saying?
Oh, no, Father. You know it's my wild duck.
There are certain claims. What shall I call them? Let me say, claims of the ideal. Certain obligations which a man cannot disregard without injury to his soul.
But think of the wild duck.
Not true. Not at that time. Mr. Verrill did come after me, that's a fact. And his wife thought there was something in it, and she hustled me about so that I left her service.
But afterwards, then?
I suppose you've got to know it. He gave me no peace until he'd had his way.
And this is the mother of my child. How could you hide this from me?
Yes, it was wrong of me. I ought certainly to have told you long ago.
You should have told me at the very first. Then I should have known the sort of woman you were.
But would you have married me all the same?
How can you dream that I would?
That's just why I didn't tell you anything then. For I'd come to care for you so much, you see. And I couldn't go and make myself utterly miserable.
And this is my Hedvig's mother. And to know that all I see before me, all that I call my home, I owe to a favored predecessor. Oh, that scoundrel, Verl.
But tell me, Ekdal, what would have become of you if you hadn't had a wife like me?
Like you?
Yes, for you know I've always been a bit more practical and wide awake than you. Of course, I'm a year or two older.
Oh. I have passed through the bitterest moments of my life.
But also, I trust, the most ennobling.
Well, at any rate, we have got through it for the present.
God forgive you, Mr. Verl.
But I don't understand this.
What don't you understand?
After so great a crisis that is to be the starting point of an entirely new life, of a communion founded on truth and free from all taint of deception...
Yes, yes, I know. I know that quite well.
I confidently expected when I entered the room to find the light of transfiguration shining upon me from both husband and wife. And now I see nothing but dullness, oppression, gloom.
Oh, is that it?
Do you think a man can so easily throw off the bitter cup I have drained?
No, not a common man, perhaps, but a man like you.
Oh, I know that well enough. But you must keep me up to it, Gregers. It takes time, you know.
You have much of the wild duck in you, Hjalmar.
Oh-ho, is the wild duck to the fore again?
Relling, you're here.
May the devil fly away with you.
What is that you're saying?
Only uttering a heartfelt wish that this quacksalver would take himself off. If he stays here, he is quite equal to making an utter mess of life for both of you.
These two will not make a mess of life, Dr. Relling.
You might have left me alone for what I was then.
Is it rude to ask, Verl, what you really want in this house?
To lay the foundations of a true marriage.
So you don't think Ekdal's marriage is good enough as it is?
No doubt it is as good a marriage as most others, worse luck. But a true marriage it has yet to become.
Excuse me, Mr. Verl. How many, in round numbers, how many true marriages have you seen in the course of your life?
Scarcely a single one.
Nor I either.
But I have seen innumerable marriages of the opposite kind. It has been my fate to see at close quarters what ruin such a marriage can work in two human souls.
Well, I can't say I've exactly been married, so I don't pretend to speak with authority. But this I do know, that the child enters into the marriage problem, and you must leave the child in peace.
Oh, Hedvig, my poor Hedvig.
Yes, you must be good enough to keep Hedvig outside of all this. You two are grown-up people. You're free in God's name to make what mess and muddle you please of your life. But you must deal cautiously with Hedvig, I tell you. She is at a critical age. You might ruin her soul.
Gina, we are not yet finished with this business. You must make a clean breast of it. If the connection between you and Verl were quite over when you came to care for me, as you call it, why did he place us in a position to marry?
I suppose he thought he could come and go in our house.
I see. Gina, I want to know whether your child has the right to live under my roof.
You asked that?
You shall answer me this one question. Does Hedvig belong to me or, well...
I don't know.
Then I have nothing more to do in this house.
Take care, Hjalmar. Think what you're doing.
In this case, there is nothing for a man like me to think twice about.
Yes,
Hedvig, keep far away. I cannot bear to see you. Goodbye.
No, no, don't leave me.
Look at the child, Ekdal. Look at the child.
I will not. I cannot. I must get out. Away from all of this.
Mr. Verl, you must tell me what all this means. Why doesn't my father want me anymore?
You mustn't ask that till you're a big girl, quite grown up.
But I can't go on being as miserable as this till I'm grown up.
Let us talk about the wild duck, little Hedvig.
The poor wild duck. He doesn't want to see it anymore either. Only think, he wanted to wring its neck.
But suppose you were to sacrifice the wild duck of your own free will for his sake.
The wild duck?
Suppose you were to make a free will offering for his sake of the dearest treasure you have in the world.
Do you think that would do any good?
Try it, Hedvig.
Yes, I'll try it.
Have you really the courage for it, do you think?
I'll ask Grandfather to shoot the wild duck for me.
Yes, do, but not a word to your mother about it.
Why not?
She doesn't understand us.
The wild duck. I'll try it tomorrow morning.
And you say, Relling, that Hjalmar spent the night in your room?
Yes.
And what does he say today?
He says nothing whatever.
I can understand that very well. What is he doing?
He's lying on the sofa, snoring.
No wonder, after the spiritual conflict that has rent him. What is your explanation of the tumult that is going on in Hjalmar Ekdal?
A pitifully small amount of tumult have I noticed in him.
What, not at such a crisis, when his whole life has been placed on a new foundation? How can you think that such an individuality as Hjalmar's...
Oh, individuality? He? If he had ever any tendency to the abnormal development you call individuality, I can assure you it was rooted out of him while he was still in his teens.
But look at the depth of his mind.
I have never discovered it. When our dear, sweet Hjalmar went to college, he at once passed for the great light of the future amongst his comrades. His talent for declaiming other people's verses and other people's thoughts...
Is it Hjalmar Ekdal that you are talking about in this strain?
Yes, with your permission. I am simply giving you an inside view of the idol you're groveling before.
I should have hardly thought I was quite stone blind.
Yes, you are, or not far from it. You're a sick man, too, you see. Yours is a complicated case. You are always in a delirium of hero worship. You must always have something to adore outside yourself.
Yes, I must certainly seek it outside myself.
But you make such shocking mistakes. Here again you have come to a cotter's cabin with your claim of the ideal, and the people of the house are insolvent.
If you don't think better than that of Hjalmar Ekdal, what pleasure can you find in being everlastingly with him?
Well, you see, I'm supposed to be a sort of a doctor, save the mark. I can't but give a hand to the poor sick folk who live under the same roof with me.
Oh, indeed. Hjalmar Ekdal is sick too, is he?
Most people are, worse luck.
And what remedy are you applying in Hjalmar's case?
My usual one. I am cultivating the life illusion in him.
Life illusion? I didn't catch what you said.
Yes, I said illusion. For illusion, you know, is the stimulating principle. Take the old lieutenant. He has hit upon his own cure.
Lieutenant Ekdal? What of him?
Just think of the old bear hunter shouting himself up in that dark garret to shoot rabbits. There's not a happier sportsman in the world. The 4 or 5 withered Christmas trees he has saved up are the same to him as the whole great fresh forest. The cock and the hens are big game birds in the fir tops. He's the mighty hunter of the mountains.
Poor unfortunate old man. Yes, he has indeed had to narrow the ideals of his youth.
Don't use that foreign word, ideals. We have a better word, lies.
Dr. Relling, I shall not give up the struggle until I have rescued Hjalmar from your clutches.
So much the worse for him. Rob the average man of his life illusion, and you rob him of his happiness at the same stroke.
Oh, there now, Ekdal. So you've come after all.
I come, only to depart again immediately.
Yes, yes, I suppose so. But, Lord help us, what a sight you are.
A sight?
And your nice winter coat, too. Well, that's done for.
Mother, hadn't I better? Oh, Father, Father, you're back.
Away, away. Keep her away from me, I say.
Go into the sitting room, Hedvig.
In these, the last moments I've spent in my former home, I wish to be spared from interlopers.
Does that mean me, Mother?
I must go into the kitchen, Hedvig. You'd best go into your own room.
Yes, Mother.
Well, Hjalmar, I never dreamed that this would be the end of it. Do you really feel it a necessity to leave house and home?
I am not fitted to bear unhappiness, Gregers. I must feel secure and at peace in my surroundings.
But can you not feel that here? Just try it. I should have thought that you had firm ground to build upon now, if only you start afresh. And remember, you have your invention to live for.
Oh, don't talk about my invention. It's perhaps still in the dim distance. There now. He must needs go shooting in the garret.
Wait a moment. Do you know what that was?
Yes, of course I know.
No, you don't know. It was Hedvig's free will offering. She's got your father to shoot the wild duck.
To shoot the wild duck?
She wanted to sacrifice to you her most cherished possession, for then she thought you would surely come to love her again.
Who was shooting?
Father.
But old Ekdal is in his room.
Then she has shot the wild duck herself.
What can it...
Hedvig, no! No!
What's the matter here?
Dr. Relling, Hedvig has shot herself.
Come and help us.
Shot herself?
It can't be dangerous. Speak up, Relling. It can't be dangerous.
The ball has entered the breast.
Yes, but why don't you say something?
Surely you can see that Hedwig is dead.
Oh, my child, my child.
No, no, she must live. Only a moment. Only just until I can tell her how unspeakably I loved her all the time. I can never tell her now. Never, never.
Nobody's ever going to sell me the idea that this was an accident.
Who can say how this awful thing happened?
There are powder burns on her blouse. She must have aimed the pistol point blank at her breast and fired.
Hedwig did not die in vain. Did you notice how grief freed the greatness in Hjalmar?
The grief of death brings out greatness in almost everyone. But how long do you think this glory will last with him?
I should think it would last and grow all his life.
In less than a year, little Hedwig will be nothing more to him than a pretty theme for recitations.
You dare say that about Hjalmar Ekdal?
We'll be lectured on this when the first Grask shows on her grave. Then you can hear him spewing out phrases about the child too soon torn from her father's heart. And you'll have your chance to watch him souse himself in conceit and self-pity. Wait and see.
If you're right and I'm wrong, then life isn't worth living.
Oh, life would be good in spite of it all if we could only have some peace from these damned shysters who come badgering us poor people with their claim of the ideal.
In that case, I'm glad my destiny is what it is.
Beg pardon? But what is your destiny?
To be the 13th man at every table.
Oh, the hell you say.
Presentation of The Wild Duck has featured Kenneth Pogren, Harrison Klein, Kevin Sullivan, Paul Schindler, Jody Gebhardt, and Fran Williams. Technical direction and sound effects by Jeff Rubin. Musical direction by George Mitchell. WTBS Presents is produced and directed by Paul Schindler and transcribed in the studios of WTBS Cambridge. This is your announcer, Seymour Broomwhat. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday at 9:30 for WTBS Presents.